Good evening. Welcome to the Solaire Report. Today is Thursday, September 13th, 2018. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. Hold that date, September 22nd. It's Saturday following it in Asheville, lunch with Dr. Mark Skidmore at the Biltmore Estate. We're sold out, maintaining a waiting list. We've gotten questions. Will we cancel for Hurricane Florence? No, we would only cancel if the Biltmore Estate facility cancels on us. Otherwise, we'll be there. Rise of the Asian Consumer, the written web presentation is now up. If you haven't accessed that presentation, I strongly recommend. The PDF and hard copy are underway. Thanks for your patience. I think it was worth it. The Amsterdam workshop that I'm attending that Ulrich Groniger is teaching is on October 12th and 13th. Afterwards, I'll head through Lake Constance to the conference in Italy where Ulrich and I are speaking. We're doing this as part of the Future Science series. More information about that, again, under events. And after Italy, I'll head to Switzerland for 2 weeks and then back to the United States. Our theme tonight is back in the USA, it's time to jump the curve. I arrived back in the USA on Sunday. I've been gone for 2 months traveling in Europe, and I was with subscribers and allies who are building the future and doing great things. It was a remarkable time, and I was struck as I return with how many of our subscribers and allies are struggling with people who cannot face reality or make the change or simply don't have integrity. And what I need to say to you is give up struggling with them. You need to get as far away as possible. If you look at the speeds at which people are now moving around the world because change is accelerating, you cannot afford to be left behind. And so if someone's dragging you down, with rare exception, and there are exceptions, you need to just let go and leave them behind. Get away from the bitterness and sarcasm you find in America. I'm struck coming back into the USA with how much bitterness and sarcasm I find, not among the Solaire group, but in other places. And it's the kind of thing that can just absolutely pull you down. I'm always reminded of one of my favorite quotes from one of my favorite sermons. God does not need what you have lost to bless you. So we build by nurturing and growing what we have, as opposed to turning bitter and sarcastic about what we've lost. The cost of the lies that we're dealing with is enormous. I know you know this. But the cost to our society in terms of wasted time is absolutely incredible. I've been reminded off and on all week dealing with different aspects of the financial system. Many of the leaders in the financial system are required to tell such great lies, and they seem to have forgotten what the truth was. We see Jamie Dimon saying he could beat he was smarter than Trump. He could beat him in an election. I don't think Jamie Dimon realizes, as chairman of J.P. Morgan Chase, what will happen to him if he comes into the heartland and tries to get everybody's vote. So it's a little bit like being a truck driver and all your maps are wrong all the time and you're still expected to drive a truck and make deliveries all over the country, or like a symphony orchestra required to play in the dark. The destruction of productivity is incalculable. I watched the video that was leaked of a group from Google, including the Google leadership, right after the 2016 election, sort of bemoaning the fate of what had happened. And it was fascinating to watch it because you realize they have absolutely no understanding of how the money works, particularly government money and regulation, and no understanding of the covert side of the economy and how things are really organized. And you're thinking, this is the tech leadership of one of the largest companies in the world, and they are completely divorced. They had no understanding of why the election had come out the way it had come out. If you read my article, The Productivity Backlash, it was my effort to explain to a wide variety of people who had no understanding of what the real issues were They kept trying to explain it in these highly value-laden, incendiary ways. So we're at a point where you and I just have to move forward. We have to network with people who are building good maps and don't want to play in the dark. They want to play in the light. And they're making changes and they're doing something and they're trying to live a free and inspired life. They have a high learning metabolism. So people with high integrity and high learning metabolisms are really getting something done. You and I need to join them. And whatever you have to do to get there, even if that means loneliness for an interim period, I know for me it meant tremendous loneliness for years and years and years, but it was worth it. And I'm reminded again of Thomas Meyer's great quote when I interviewed him last February, and it's up as a Solari report called The Future of Europe. Thomas said, quote, "We have to pierce the tunnels of loneliness with the conviction that there are other people and one has to trust that one is led to them." Anyway, get going. Your time is precious. Stop worrying about the people who can't keep up. Just move forward. The change is accelerating. Opportunities are everywhere, but you cannot sit still and ultimately let the tsunami just run over you. Okay, the U.S. dollar now up 2.93%. It's back down a little bit from where it's been. It's been higher. Fixed income TLT now down 4.44%. So interest rates still sneaking up. The intermediate treasury at 2.24%. The bond aggregate at 1.4%. And junk continues to defy my expectations, doing well at 1.61%, the best category, really, in fixed income. Equities, the S&P now up 9.91% for the year. Home builders down 8.72%. The European ETF, VGK, is down 2.87%. Germany down 7.73%. Developed markets down 3.29%. China large caps down 8.51%, and small caps down 12.17%. You can see the effort to take on Chinese tech is really there. Emerging markets down 10.28%. The commodities index down 1.27%. Gold down 8%. Silver, down 16.51%. But my reports are very hard to get your hands on the silver you want. And then I apologize. It turns out Morningstar was not reporting the oil ETF correctly. It's now up 26.3%. So still flying for the year. I note they just announced this week that U.S. is the largest oil exporter. I'm sure there people are going to argue with those statistics, but there's no doubt about it. The U.S. has come a long way in terms of energy self-sufficiency. The big story this week is the AI robotics trend. It threads through many of the different stories, and I want to go through some of them so we can connect the dots, because it's not obvious as you look through them what's really going on. First of all, Jack Ma resigned, which I find very interesting. And he resigned before he had the successor and the succession plan ready to announce, which is unbelievably unusual. And so you wonder what were the pressures there. He's 54 years old and has done a remarkable job of building Alibaba. And so there's a story here, but I'll tell you what I think it is. Jack Ma has been very eloquent about describing his concerns about the pain that new technology is going to bring, including AI and robotics, and what the internet in combination with those is going to do to people's incomes, to their lives, to their sense of security. I think Jack Ma probably understands the risks better than anyone on the planet. And he also has access to tremendous amounts of information of what the people at the top of government, at the top of global investment and the big investment funds want and are planning on doing. I know I told you about the venture capitalist in Aspen when I was at the conference last year, looked me dead in the eye and said, we can replace everyone with software and robotics, and that's what we're going to do. 100% of the workforce, we're going to replace them. Anyway, I think Jack Ma really felt a conflict of interest between doing what he could to address the situation versus what he was required to do by investors to just load up AI and robotics and in Alibaba and put everybody out of work. If you look at how he built his company, it was really serving and helping the small guy be successful. And I just feel that that's probably still in his heart. And he had to choose. So what he's doing is he's turning to philanthropy, and it'll be very interesting to see what he does. I'm going to keep an eye on it. What this means is that the very, very successful tech leaders are going to feel a lot of pressure to contribute. So we see Bezos this week announce a $2 billion donation for homelessness and early education. We see other responses. Not everybody is sort of leaning in to help. Larry Page of Google apparently is reported to be spending more time on his Caribbean island and pulled a no-show for congressional testimony. I'm in the process of reading a book, and I'll post a review about it next week as soon as I'm done. It's called AI Superpowers, and it makes a very compelling argument that China is passing us in tech, particularly in AI. Its contention is that the U.S. and China are so far ahead of AI, it's going to create a dramatic divide around the world. It's one of the reasons for the push for 5G, both in Asia and here. 5G means that you can soak up the most amount of data. And if you look at what's going on with AI, the reality is the guy who has more data has a distinct advantage. The more data AI has to work with, the more powerful it can become. And I'll talk more about it as soon as I've got the book review up. The reality is Asia has a lot more people, which means they can generate a lot more data. So it's definitely an advantage to Asia. The other thing I wanted to note is that mind control is powerful. I've been struck over the last 6 months how many people, including very intelligent people, Solaria subscribers, refer to Siri or Alexa or any of these other sort of software apps or machines as she, not its. And I will get into a struggle with them. I'll say, well, wait a minute. An Alexa machine is not a she, it's an it. And they'll get very angry with me and say, no, she's a she. And they don't seem to realize that's mind control. We need to be very, very clear about the lines between what is living and what is a machine, particularly when it's a machine programmed by people who don't care about you. So it's an it, it's not a she. And the mind control to sell this stuff is very, very strong. The reason I wanted to really focus on AI and robotics as the lead story this week is because of the announcement that New York City is adding a third gender option to its birth certificates. This is known as Gender X. So if you don't want to be a male or a female, you can put down that you're an X, which is other. And we now have Oregon, California, Washington, New Jersey, and New York City are all permitting citizens to opt for a gender X on their birth certificates. You also have other states, a series of states, who are allowing this on their driver's license. Now, what does this mean? Let me mention a few others. Ontario issued its first non-binary birth certificate to a filmmaker who uses the plural pronouns they and them. In the summer of 2017, Canada allowed the X gender marker to be placed on passports. Get ready for this. In Germany last month, the government moved to allow a third gender marker on official documents in compliance with a November 2017 court ruling from the Federal Constitutional Court a decision which held that unless people had the option to select a third gender identity other than male or female, gender entries should be done away with altogether. The third marker there is called gender diverse. So here's my prediction. What's all this about? It has nothing to do with human rights in any respect. When you combine a gender X capacity on a birth certificate or a driver's license, when you combine that with the ability to grant citizenship to a robot, let's go back to earlier this year. Sophia was granted citizenship in Saudi Arabia. Sophia is a robot. And Saudi Arabia was, you know, with big announcements, they were the first country to grant citizenship to a robot. If you can make robots citizens, and to do that, you need to mark them as gender X, then you can slip them right into the payroll system and tax them. Because the big question on for on-scale implementation of robotics is how in the world, if you end up with robots doing everything, how are you going to get all those payroll and other taxes? So big question, how do you integrate robots in a way which works for the establishment? And my prediction is this is a step towards making it possible to basically slip robots into the current payroll and labor systems and related legal identities and simply make sure you've got a system where they're paying taxes. It's going to be very interesting. Anyway, so to say that things are getting more bizarre, clearly they are. The second thing I want to talk about, or the second sort of batch of stories, is the capital is leaving the emerging markets submerged. So just like a body pulls blood back to the heart, the lungs, and the brains, and it pulls away from the toes and the fingers, we're watching money leave the emerging markets as the capital repatriation happens back into America, and money is brought back in, not just by the tax reform and the capital repatriation, but also by the Fed essentially tightening the policies, raising interest rates, etc. What that means is you've got a series of submerging of markets. Venezuela, Turkey, Argentina, Brazil, Egypt, and Russia even down, their currency down 18% so far this year. Venezuela's currency is down 99.9%. I tweeted out a little chart with the different numbers of how far their currencies are down, but also high unemployment as well in many of these countries. So if you combine high unemployment with a falling currency, it's a very strong squeeze. It's not the only squeeze going on. If you look at Germany is now pushing for alternative SWIFT systems and private payment systems. They're giving the big tech leaders trouble about things like PayPal and Google Pay and Apple Pay because you can see they no longer, there's a real serious distrust of those systems. The dollar looks strong, and again, it's up again this year, but the dollar clearly is in trouble as more and more people try and build liquidity systems away from it. And we see some pretty big names in the financial markets, Gundlach among them, major bond investor, and Ray Dalio coming out and predicting a much weaker dollar over the next 2 years and real crises down the road. Probably after the presidential election. One of the things that's making the dollar weaker is financial sanctions. We're using our predominance or sort of our lead position in the financial system to use financial sanctions to get our way around the world. But of course, the more you do that, the more the world builds sort of alternatives. And we see this week the White House threatening the judges in The Hague with financial sanctions if they give trouble to any of the Americans for their role. I think it was Afghanistan. It could have been Iraq. Don't expect the Fed. The Fed has enough on its hands. Don't expect the Fed to help or to re-engineer its policies to help the emerging markets or China. So I think you're going to see hardball when it comes to sort of the Make America Great Again or Fortress America. At the same time, part of that squeeze is the interest expense to the government is ballooning. I posted one article last week about the charts out the numbers of how much the interest expense is adding and accelerating to the debt. And it's one of the reasons that you're going to see more gathering and husbanding of the resources back into America, because America's got plenty of problems to deal on its own. I currently expect the Fed to bump interest rates at the meeting at the end of September, but let's see what they do. There, a lot can happen between now and then. We're also seeing, talking about problems at the fringe, we've now seen an 80% dive in the cryptocurrencies market, and we're really in the dump of the pump and dump. And there's a lot of criticism coming out on cryptocurrencies. There was a great spread, as I said last week, in The Economist. Was in the issue with the cover Peak Valley, which was their new description of Silicon Valley. Global interest rates are at a huge spread from negative to 13% and more. So if you take a look at some of the countries that in the emerging markets that are really experiencing tough times, their cost of capital relative to our cost of capital, the spread is enormous. When you add to that the spread in terms of learning metabolisms to develop and apply technologies like AI, we run the risk of reshuffling into a new have and have nots globally. It's this kind of spread in the cost of capital and then access to technology is extreme. Okay, another grouping of stories all under the relationship of China and Russia and building the multipolar world. We see picture go around the world of Putin and Xi Jinping eating pancakes together in Vladivostok. Many things going on. Russia and China were participating in major war games, and you had the Eastern Economic Forum in Vladivostok. The sort of discussion and assemblage was so impressive. I put a link up to the forum website, and you can see a lot of material and learn a lot about what they're talking about. Escobar wrote an article describing that. I also put a link up, so he gave some pretty good coverage to the whole meeting. At the meeting, Alibaba announced a 10% deal with Mail.ru Group, which is the Russian internet leader. That's a very significant development. In the meantime, China has decided to sweet talk companies. Wouldn't surprise me if that was part of Trump's goal, was to get American companies back in the game inside of China. In the meantime, the U.S. proposed a new round of China trade talks, so we'll see what happens. At the same time, U.S. is holding firm on Taiwan, and you see more countries around the world dropping their representation of Taiwan, and so the Taiwan issue is China's really pushing hard to bring that to a head. I covered in the annual wrap-up and news trends and stories many of the different steps that China and Russia have taken to build linkages and start to help each other build financial liquidity away from the dollar. These are all new, young sort of initiatives, and they're going to take a lot of building of relationships. The reality, though, is as they grow, they can become very, very powerful. And it's one of the reasons you see people like Unlatch and Dalio saying the dollar's in for a rougher ride going forward in the future and could significantly drop. Okay, let me run through some other stories. Clearly, hurricanes and typhoons are in the headlines this week. Hurricane Florence headed into the Carolinas right now as we speak. They'll really hit Friday morning. And then we have a big typhoon out in Asia headed for the Philippines. There's a lot of questions about whether or not this is man-made or steered. I speculated about some of the possible reasons as to whether it is or not in the subscriber input section. So I won't, we've been discussing it online, so I won't cover it here. I do think it's important that we pray for all concerned, and for those of you who are in the Carolinas or Virginia and are affected, please, if there's anything that I and the Solaria team can do to help, let us know. And again, I'm going to be driving not all the way over to the coast in North Carolina, but I'll be over in North Carolina next weekend. So I'll arrive Friday night in Greensboro and then head over to Asheville on Saturday and then drive back on Sunday. The Kavanaugh confirmation appears to be going forward. He came out and said that net neutrality was unconstitutional. He just wanted to punch him. Let's make the world safe for corporations and to hell with people. I mean, how can net neutrality be unconstitutional? I don't get it. But I didn't have time to look into the details of what he said, but I think that was deeply disturbing. The swamp drama obviously continues now with Manafort having made a deal. We'll see what the terms and conditions are tomorrow. The big thing is that Trump has been interviewing people for White House counsel, and when he makes that pick, it's going to be very informative, so I'm going to keep an eye on it. The story of the $21 trillion missing money keeps percolating around, and you're starting to see more and more people understand what it means and why it's important. It's got a lot more to percolate. So anything you could do to get that fact and reality going around would be very helpful. So keep spreading those stories, and I appreciate how much you've done already. The Vatican is calling a summit of the bishops to Rome in February to have a major summit on sex abuse. And you can see they feel like they're not on top of the story. The reality is, if the Vatican's ever going to get on top of the story, they're going to have to get much better at tech, because they're really being power shifted by the Masons and the other networks who have really been on top of what's happening in telecommunications and tech. The reality is that the sex networks were not a matter of indiscretion by priests. The big part of it, as far as I'm concerned, was, and what I saw in Philadelphia, was it was part of running the drugs and organized crime, and the economic implications of losing their sex networks would be very significant. The Middle East just gets uglier. The United States seemed to have given the Israelis permission to simply genocide the Palestinians. The U.S. has been pulling support and subsidy, and where this will probably go is not very pretty. It's going to be the logical place it goes is the genocide of the Palestinian people. We seem to continue to push for war with Iran and more war in Syria. Mattis is now making a special trip to Afghanistan, which appears to be our military presence there seems to be in real trouble after 17 years and $1 trillion of expenses. The reality is, if you look at the amount of natural resources in play in Afghanistan, it's very significant, not to mention the poppy fields. So you have a lot of private interests who need those markets needs the poppy harvest and needs the natural resources, and they don't want to lose it, and yet the military situation does not look good. So I'm going to be very interested to see what we learn when Mattis comes back. Our hero this week is the Asheville lineup, Dr. Mark Skidmore, Alan Phillips. We just did a great interview with Alan, which we'll be publishing as soon as the transcript is ready. Alan is the really courageous attorney who's been helping people with their vaccine rights all over the country. He's based in North Carolina. And I'm hoping, but I can't promise, that John Rappaport will be with us. So, and there's more. There are more coming. So it's going to be a great group. There's some of amazing subscribers who are coming. So you will meet a lot of tremendous people if you're coming to Asheville. Let's go to the movies. This has never happened to me before. I have to confess that I chose O Cuisine as our movie. It's a charming, charming French film. I chose it as our movie this week before I'd gotten a hold of it. I had trouble getting a hold of it online when I was in Europe, and I just assumed when I got back to America, I'd be able to get a hold of it. You'd think I could get it in France because actually at that point I was in the Netherlands. I can't get it. I can't get it anywhere, and believe you me, I've tried. You know, I've done everything but go to those websites where it's probably not. They're probably violating some kind of copyright. Anyway, I will endeavor to get a hold of a copy and watch it anyway. The reason I recommended it is because France has a culture which is remarkable. It's magical. The beauty of France and the caring and the tradition of excellence in the arts, in culture, in music is just extraordinary. And if you look at France's economy, whether it's the money that comes from tourism or the money that comes from fashion or the money that comes from wine or the money that comes from movies and entertainment, it goes on and on and on. The world loves French culture and can't get enough of it. And meantime, you have the leadership in France trying to say, oh, well, there's no French culture, and there are many different kinds of people, and there's no such thing as the French person. And it's nuts. And when you watch, if you watch the trailer for O Cuisine, and I know the movie is based on a true story of a regional chef who was invited by the president of France to be his personal chef. And it celebrates the French cooking and French food, which is absolutely fantastic. Anyway, so I wanted to nurture and support the side that says there is such a thing as the French culture, and it's very, very important. It's very, very valuable, and we're not going to tolerate the effort to destroy it. Our interview this week is Harry Blaser with his next episode in the food series, interviewing Ronnie Cummins, who's the co-founder and international director of the Organic Consumers Association. Harry felt that subscribers really needed to know how to navigate the purchasing of organic food. You know, it's like a gauntlet. It's very complex. What can you trust? What can you not trust? There's been a lot of effort to deteriorate the standards. So consumers really need to understand how to go about buying organic food and how to do it, in fact, in the most economic way. So it's a very practical and useful interview. And one of the things I love about it is Cummins points out, he goes through the size of the organic farmers and ranchers worldwide and then the entire farming industry worldwide, and he reminds us that it's bigger than the entire military-industrial complex, which it is. And then he does a great job of reminding you that food is the solution. So if you look at the immigration problems, if you look at inequality, if you look at deterioration of the soil, all the different problems that ail us, it's amazing how many of them, the real solutions are very much bound up with food and farming and growing our food right and making sure people have really healthy, nutritious food. So there's a lot of basic practical information for you, both as an individual, but then about sort of how the system works. And it helps you understand why your food choices are so powerful. It's a huge opportunity. If everyone really works hard to find good economic sources of local fresh food, ranchers and farmers both, and it's more important now than ever that you do that, because the rise of the Asian consumer is really going to put pressure on resources, and it's going to export inflation to all of us. And one of your greatest protections against inflation, as well as the debasement of the food supply, is to have trustworthy, good local sources of local fresh food. And if you like to garden or like to plant orchards or, do edible landscape, pitch in. Every little bit counts. So Ronnie Cummins with Harry Blazer, very inspiring to remind you that what you do with your personal food budget is critical. And if enough of us get it right, it could make an enormous difference planetary-wide. Okay, ask Catherine. Someone writes, Harvey Redux G, another major hurricane with another nickname, Hurricane of a Lifetime, that is forecast to stall out just after reaching the coast. Disaster capitalism on another coastline with unprecedented rainfall and subsequent rebuilding. Just waiting for Al Gore to bring up global warming. Again, frustrating, sad for those affected, prayers for those who won't make it through this one. Since we have weather weapons, HARP, that we know of, the storm could probably be turned away or dissipated. Hurricane Harvey and the 1.2 million burned acres just in California. Now this, ? So, I speculated a little bit about an undersubscriber input, but I would say this is a very suspicious pattern. One of the things that was interesting is before it got close to the coast, so 2 days ago, if you looked at what the sort of media spin was on the hurricane versus what the statistics I was reading on the different websites reporting wind speed and sort of all sorts of other things about it, it really was being made out to be far worse than it looks like it is. Again, we'll have to see what happens. So I think it's very important to take these things seriously, but not let yourself get talked into living in a state of fear. Hi, Catherine. Would you recommend a young person to buy real estate with 20% down and the rest with a purchase price to be a mortgage? I responded, in fact, in subscriber input and wrote lots, a list of sort of detailed questions and other issues I would want to look at. And I pointed out that we did a great Solaria report with Gary Eldred, who's the author of one of the best books I've ever found yet to help with due diligence on home buying. It's called The 106 Common Mistakes Home Buyers Make and How to Avoid Them. He's a professor, and he got 200 students to go out and do interviews with real estate brokers, mortgage brokers, everybody in the real estate business in his area, and put together an unbelievable wealth of information about how to really go about buying a home that was very useful. What I responded, among the things I said, was, everything depends on where you are and the particulars of your situation, one being whether or not the economy would be strong in Global 3.0. So you responded back and said the couple in question was in Colorado Springs. And what I will tell you is that Colorado Springs, and you said not sure if Colorado Springs is Global 3.0 scenario, though Colorado Springs is very high Global 3.0 because it's the Space Command Center. So you're talking about major space installations. As space grows, you would expect Colorado Springs to grow. So I would give Colorado Springs a very high 3.0 long-term growth potential. The other thing I would point out is that we have a lot of things coming to a head politically between now and 2019. And if it was convenient to search and get your arms around the market, but not buy until we're in the off season, maybe January, February, when the market's low or down, it would be good to let the next couple months go by and see how they roll out, because I'm getting reports that the housing market is soft around the country in a variety of places. I just don't know Colorado Springs. But I would be willing to wait till January or February. If there are low points in the market, I don't know Colorado Springs well enough. There are certain times in the market that are sort of great times to sell and others that are great times to buy. You want to buy when everybody else is busy doing the Christmas holidays or something. Dear Catherine, I thought of your prayer for 9/11 this morning, and then this is a wonderful subscriber who sent a copy of the Psalm 64, and I pointed out that one of my favorite psalms is 63, and I ended up publishing the scene in Patton when Patton reads Psalm 63. Anyway, so thank you for that. That was very inspiring. Dear Catherine, I heard your answer. You answer questions about a reset a few times now in your money and markets program. You answered it from the perspective that a reset can go a myriad of ways, so one should be prepared by having 3 months of food, cash on hand, local friends for support, for example. More recently, you said that we are in a reset with a repatriation of U.S. dollars based on new tax laws, but wondering if someone can profit from this reset as well. So you bought a few thousand, or if one bought a few thousand Iraqi dollars and Zimbabwe dollars with the premise that when a reset takes place, that currency would go up in value based on the currency's resources, assuming you had a place to liquidate the revalued dinars back to U.S. dollars, wouldn't you be a lot better off? In my opinion, the dinar, the Iraqi dinar or the Zimbabwe dollar speculations have very little chance of producing anything of value. I think of them as, I think they're just scams. And the reality is if you had a few thousand dollars, you'd be much better off putting them into junk silver. And as opposed to the currency, the paper currency of one particular country that's not very strong. So junk silver is a much better bet than Iraqi dinar. If you're in the United States, the junk silver is legal tender. Or, you know, if you can take care of them, using the money to buy chickens, they can lay eggs, breed, and multiply. So I would put the money in something real. I wouldn't put it in paper, and I certainly wouldn't put it in paper, which I consider to be real financial scams. Hi, Catherine. Thanks for all your great work. Could you please share this short documentary with our Sillery family? And he goes on to propose that I post a wonderful documentary about all the citizens who came to the rescue in 9/11. It was, he says, 500,000 people boat lifted off Manhattan Island in 9 hours with the help of legions of civilian boaters. Anyway, it's a really remarkable documentary. I posted it several times, but inspired by your email, I posted it again. Hi, Catherine. Listening to Money and Markets this week, words on climate change and inflation, I felt inspired to share a feel-good purchase. And then they sent me a link to a company that makes Rothy's. It's a kind of shoe made from recycled water bottles. And I walked 5 miles around San Francisco in these and felt fantastic. Stepped in dog poo, washed them. They look better. You can wash them. You can put them in the washing machine. They're basically the perfect shoe for Europe, provided it's not snowing. I plan on buying another pair for when I go there next month. The price point seems a bit high at first, but they're so durable they don't have to be replaced as frequently. They look fabulous. I went to the website and I went, wow, they look beautiful. Now I'm a little bit reluctant to buy them online. I'd like to try it on before I buy it, but they look absolutely beautiful. So thank you for that. It's Rothy, Rothys.com, and their stores in San Francisco. Okay, next one. This is a headline from KTLA. More than 1.2 million acres burned, over 1,200 homes destroyed, at least a dozen dead, and California's fire season is far from over. Anyway, someone sent that in to point out how bad things have gotten in California. Hi, please forward this email to the right places. Recently, I mentioned Catherine in a post about the crisis for pain patients in the USA not being able to get their prescriptions for pain medication refilled or even written. Catherine said in her podcast she wanted personal stories. I would like to post this request on a couple of forums. I want to ask people to send her feedback, but I need a public email. I mentioned this last week. I wanted to mention it again this week. Just send them to customerservice@celeri.com. And I really appreciate your doing this. The more stories I can get on this, the better. that's it for this evening. I'm going to be driving to Greensboro next Thursday, so I'm going to talk to you from somewhere along Interstate 40 in the heartland of America. Next week, we're publishing a wonderful interview with John Williams of Shadow Stats, The Real Deal on Inflation, where you're also going to hear a lot about the real deal on the economy, unemployment, many other things going on. John is the maven of government and private markets to economic statistics, and he can really unpack what the numbers say about what's happening in the world. The following week, September 27th, we launch our Solarian Wellness Series. We've launched the Food Series. It's going great. We've launched Future Science Series. That's going great. Now we're launching the Solarian Wellness Series. Marvelous subscriber, Bridget Mouchet, has got a healthcare business, which you'll hear all about. Now out in the San Francisco Bay Area, has agreed to lead the wellness. And her first one is an interview with Dr. Tom O'Brien. It's called Microbiome 101 and Why We Should Care. And so I'm really looking forward to having that. I had been doing a lot of the wellness interviews, and I finally realized, you know, we need somebody with more focus and expertise because to do this very right, the science and the technology is getting so sophisticated. I need somebody who's a real specialist and expert and has a tremendous passion. We need somebody who's focused just on wellness. Anyway, so I'm thrilled that Bridget could join us. And so that will be September 27th. And then we dive in on October 4th to News Trends and Stories with Dr. Joseph Farrell, part one and part two. I have so much to talk with Joseph about. I'm really looking forward to that. After I get back from Asheville, I'll be driving back the other direction into the heartland to chew through what's happened over the last quarter with Joseph and engage in some high-octane speculation. And so a lot going on. John Williams, then Dr. Tom O'Brien, and then Joseph Farrell for part one and two of the third quarter wrap-up News Trends and Stories. So until next week, when I'm talking from you from somewhere along Interstate 40, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, then you need to start one. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.